Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. This Sunday, Pastor Chrissy's sermon was titled, When You Have Eaten Your Fill. Here's Ron Thompson with our scripture reading.
Now, today's scripture comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 11 through 20. Now, this book of Deuteronomy is it's a collection of a series of addresses given by Moses to the people of Israel in Moab. The theme of all of these addresses is pretty much that God has saved and blessed us and his chosen people, and that they are to remember, love, and obey him. The reading. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built the fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that have multiplied is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow from your flintlock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end, to do good for you. Do not say to yourself, my power and might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to you and to your ancestors, as he is doing today. If you do forget the Lord your God, and follow other gods to serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall perish. Like the nations that the Lord is destroying before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. The word of God for the people of God.
In today's world, it seems like everything is a cause for disagreement. From politics to religion, you know, the classic culprits, to masking or vaxxing or traveling or staying put, to cheer for Carolina or not to cheer for Carolina, deciding what clothes to put on, deciding how we want to fix our hair. Everybody has opinions about everything. And really, this isn't totally a new predicament. Journalists and academics have been studying it for quite some time. In 2016, the Associated Press launched a series called Divided America, about which they say it is no longer just Republican and Democrat or liberal and conservative. It is now also the 1% versus the 99%. Rural versus urban, white men against the world, climate doubters clash with believers, bathrooms have become battlefields, borders are battle lines, sex and race, faith and ethnicity. The melting pot seems to be boiling over. Despite all this discord, though, there is one thing, or maybe I should say one person, that has found a way to bridge all the great chasms of American life. There is one person who has found her way into all of our hearts, no matter what we think about politics or faith, no matter where we were born, if we are from the country or from the city, everybody seems to love Dolly Parton. Born in one of the poorest parts of our country, Dolly's childhood was one so far from luxury. Along with her parents, she and her 11 siblings grew up in a small house that some describe as a gray shack that sits right at the foothills of the Great Smoky Mountains in a town called Locust Ridge, Tennessee. In Locust Ridge, she learned how to sing from her mother, who would often sit on the floor with her guitar to entertain her 12 children. It was in Locust Ridge where she grew her performance skills, singing by leading worship in church. There, by the time of 10, Dolly Parton began writing her own songs, and she began to dream a bigger dream. Well, Dolly is now 75 years old, and she has achieved just about every award possible for her music. She has top charts in both country and pop. She's reached number one on the Billboard charts 25 times. She's won 22 Grammys and 50 nominations. She has won Country Music Awards, People's Choice Awards, and been nominated for Tonys and Emmys as well. She sold more than 100 million albums worldwide. She's in film. She's on the radio. She's appearing in podcasts. There's even a class at the University of Tennessee that talks about Dolly. And despite all of this, Dolly never seems to forget where she came from. She sings about her Tennessee mountain home, and she talks about her childhood running alongside those mountain streams. But it's more than just words and songs that keep Dolly Parton and the Great Smoky Mountains woven together in time and space. As Dolly's career began to take off and her financial situation became more secure, Dolly chose to invest back in the community that raised her. She did it through writing music and performing songs like 9 to 5, which is a shout out to the working class. In that song, she sings about working conditions and low wages, the struggle to support a family. She started the My People Fund when Gatlinburg and parts of Sevier County, where her home is, were ravaged by fire. And this fund ended up providing over $10,000 to 900 families as they recovered and rebuilt their lives. And born out of her own experience, growing up with a father who could not read, Dolly created something called the Imagination Library in 1995. And in 25 years of existence, the Imagination Library has now given away over 100 million books, not only in Sevier County, but worldwide. Every child between birth and the age of 5 can sign up to receive a book every month. All because Dolly never forgot where she came from. She never forgot the struggles of her father and her neighbors, and she chose to reinvest in her community and dream a big dream that was not just her own, but a dream that she could share worldwide. Most recently, Dolly is known for investing $1 million in research that led to the Moderna vaccine, and she even created a 10-week YouTube series called Goodnight with Dolly to help children and families in the early months of the pandemic. Dolly read books on YouTube. She said she did it to provide a welcome distraction during a time of unrest and also to inspire a love of reading and a love of books in the world's children. What's not to love about Dolly Parton? She's a champion for many who feel they have lost their voice. Hers is a success story of an underdog little girl from nowhere, Tennessee. She's smart. She's talented. She's beautiful. She's funny, and most of all, she never forgets where she came from. I bet people would understand if Dolly didn't feel the need to give back so much of her hard-earned time and money and fame. I mean, at some point, she has to take care of herself, right? Like the Israelites who put in their time in Egypt and in the wilderness, Dolly certainly understands what it means to be poor, what it means to rely on God for every meal, what it means to pray for every penny, every breath, every step forward to stand on the plain of Moab looking at the promised land, but not quite there yet. Dolly certainly understands. And it seems that she also understands that for most of us, life is a mix of feast and famine. And when the feast time comes, when we have eaten our fill, to use the words of Moses, it would do us well to remember where we came from. The ancient preacher Moses spells it out pretty clearly in today's text. Take care, he says, lest you forget the Lord and fail to keep God's commandments, his rules, his laws. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses to live in, and your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold have increased, and everything you own has prospered, beware lest your heart grow haughty and you forget the Lord your God, who freed you from the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness. And you say to yourselves, my own power and the might of my own hands have won this wealth for me. I did it myself. Remember that it is the Lord your God who gives you the power to get that wealth in fulfillment of the covenant that God made on oath with your fathers. There is temptation in the times of feasting, when we feel we have arrived in the promised land. Either the promotion comes, the acceptance letter arrives, luck turns our way, and everything feels right with the world. Our pantries are full. There are decisions about not if we will eat, but what we will eat. And there isn't a worry in the world. In times like these, there can be a temptation to give way to our own pride, to focus on ourselves, and to store up bounty and reserve, thinking, I have earned it myself. I worked hard for this. I deserve it. And while this may be true, the more we store away for ourselves, the more disconnected and alone we become. We no longer need one another to cook the hot dogs or tend the garden. We don't need one another to carve out the wood or to paint the picture to make things beautiful. We simply rely on ourselves, and we easily forget where we come from. We easily forget the community that raised us, that taught us how to live and how to pray, how to share and how to eat, how to sing and how to dance, how to laugh, and even how to cry. The Israelites heard those words, the same ones that we read from Deuteronomy 8 today. They heard them for the first time as they were congregating on the plains of Moab at the end of their 40 years in the wilderness. And they were gazing into the promised land. They could see it just on the horizon, everything that they had struggled for, everything that they had waited for, everything that God had promised them, everything that they and God had created together was right in front of their eyes. And looking at Canaan, Moses warns them to be careful in their prosperity. Be careful not to get mixed up about where they'd come from and how they had arrived there. It was only by the grace of God that they made it out of Egypt anyway. It was only by the grace of God that they made it through the wilderness, and now the plains overlooking the promised land are right underneath their feet. And we know the story because we've read the Bible. We've spent our lives hearing sermons about it. We've studied it in small groups. And so we know what happens. As the Israelites stand there looking at Canaan, despite the fact that they are warned not to take credit for their own accomplishments, they're human, and they do what humans do. They went in and got a little greedy. They forgot the lessons that they learned in hardship, and they began looking out only for themselves, breaking the rules of the covenant, which were all about caring for one another and living in a community of love and mutual support. They broke the commandments. They failed to look out for the poor and the marginalized. They failed to welcome the foreigner and love the stranger, despite the fact that they knew what it was like to be the foreigner and the stranger. Once their feet stepped into the promised land, they seemed to have forgotten everything they learned. And very quickly, the sacred promises that they had made with God were out the window as famine turned to feast in the glory of the realized promise. And even though we know that God was still faithful to them, that God did not abandon them even when they rebelled, we also know that we don't want to repeat the sins of our ancestors. We don't want to revel in riches that we are convinced we earned ourselves while our neighbors struggle to make ends meet, to pay rent, to put food on the table, or to take just one day off to rest. We don't want to forget where we came from, do we? Instead, why don't we make a point to celebrate all that God is doing in our lives and in our community? Why don't we give thanks? Why don't we respond in gratitude to God's generosity? Why don't we give thanks for all that God has entrusted to us and then freely give it all back to God, investing in our neighbors who could use a little taste of feast? Entrusting it to the Holy Spirit, dedicating all that we have back to God and to God's kingdom, back to the communities of faith that raised us, back to our roots, back to the one who formed us and calls us forward in love, love of God and love of neighbor. Today, as we celebrate all that God has done and continues to do in our lives and in our church, what if we remembered where we came from? What if we allowed gratitude to give birth to generosity? So I ask you today, when we've eaten our fill, when we're no longer hungry, when we're no longer struggling, when we're no longer in the wilderness, but when we're looking at the promised land, will we remember where we came from? Amen.